Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dabreski.
No! I don't care. We hate you. I don't care.
And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and KO podcast.
I'm not ashamed no more.
Welcome in to the latest edition of the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers on this podcast, winners of two of the last four national championships. I have a couple of co-hosts. We'll start with Vladimir Putin's water boy. Everybody kind of... Man, Mike is making people mad even when the football season is not here. There are no sports. There are people that are still angry. He is the comrade, Mike Dabreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
I just own some property. That's all I do. My name's not on any of the property, but I own it all.
Owns it all.
I tell you, it is weird. It's a weird time. I tell you, sports wise, like it's just like a part of me is dead.
You know? Yeah,
it's really strange, and hopefully it ends soon. But it doesn't look like it's gonna end soon. And we're talking about 80 game baseball seasons now, or getting wiped out. We're talking about college football not starting on time. I mean, it is just horrible. Hopefully, the bad dream will be over soon.
I hope so. Anyway, we have, of course, Mike, and we have the gentleman who is still upset that the Midnight Express got the number 3 seed in the Crockett Cup tag team tournament. He is
fucking
Kale Hall.
Bullshit.
It's still mad.
Stop talking about it. Damn it, pisses me off. I told you. Stop.
All right. Calm down. It's okay.
Dang, man. I mean, you got to fucking poke the bear every damn time.
Stop poking the bear.
I'm poking the bear. I can't help it. Oh, goodness. Yeah. So there's Kale Hall. We also have several different sponsors that help out our show. We'll start this evening with Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. They're still open for takeout. You can order online at callawaysbarandgrill.com. You can find everything you need to know there. They have all the great food that you can get for takeout. And since Governor McMaster has approved, you can drop by and get a six-pack to go. Imagine that.
There you go.
That's the way to do it. Get you a six-pack of beer to go. We also have DNC Trucking and Transport, of course, the No Spin Zone segment, courtesy of Dennis Wilson. Comrade, read away, sir.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson has won two of the last four national titles in football. Dennis Wilson is completely on board with social distancing, as you can see, but a lovely picture that is on display now in our video feed.
Everybody see the picture? Dennis is with it. There you go.
New. I can't even read after looking at that. news update. I brought the coronavirus into our country. What may happen? I did it so Will Muschamp can get another year if this continues into football season. That's true. I am at least honest about it. It's not like I lie about my house or how much it's worth. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson owns the state. Go Tigers.
That message, courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Thank you, Dennis, for sponsoring the show.
Thank you, Dennis, for the load of shit.
I guess, Kale, you upset with Dennis because of that picture? Come on, man. Shout out to the folks watching online as well. We appreciate those guys, including Gwen, Shane, Stacy. Stacy says you live in Five Forks, Kale. Is that true? I don't know that. I don't know where Kale lives. He's not going to tell us where he lives on Facebook.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that is true.
Well,
you know who else is a member of that Five Forks? It's not a section of Greenville County.
Right.
David Butts Flooring LLC. The mansion is located somewhere within the Five Forks radius.
Hmm. He owns several properties.
Several properties.
Well, one of them's here. I guess the other ones are waterfront. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I own a nice place in Mesa, Arizona. I'm letting my dad live there for now. And I'm letting him keep his name on the actual property. But, you know, it's, you know, I own it.
Hmm. Well, there's that. We also have gentleman Otis Driftwood has agreed to give us some pickles. So I will be giving you guys some pickles. I don't know how I'm going to get to you, Kale, but...
That sounds like a fake name, Otis Driftwood.
That's his name.
It can't be a real name.
That's his name. Find Otis Driftwood on Facebook. You can get some pickles and some of this fine stuff, which I've got some for both of us. I just got to figure out how I can socially distance it to you. But the pickles are outstanding. Find Otis Driftwood on Facebook. Gary Mills, our friend, is loves the stuff that Otis Driftwood got to him the other day. Good stuff. It's the kind of stuff you need during the coronavirus. So good stuff there from Otis as he gets you squared away. All right. So this evening, we are Kool-Aid pickles. That's funny, Delta. Beth says, we put your house on Facebook, Rob. Thank you for that. Yeah, Dennis says he's going to teabag that Hoss Cartwright bitchin' ass. We'll highlight that one. That's a good thing to highlight there.
There you go.
This evening we have the Comrade Special.
I think it's funny when people on Facebook put their address on the damn out there when they're arguing with somebody. I mean, and I'll go Google Earth it. Or yeah. Google Map it or what the hell ever. Take a screenshot of it and it's a show.
That's why I put my house out there. I was like, I mean, I don't live in Five Forks. I'm not one of those assholes.
I know. No one lives in Five Forks.
In Five Forks, but
you gotta be making big time bucks.
Big time bucks. Well, anyway.
We need a few more patrons.
Need a lot more patrons.
A few more patrons and I will own several houses and properties.
Yeah.
Throughout Five Forks.
That's kind of the way it is.
I'm going to be so rich, I'm going to move to Six Forks. It's a little bit higher. It's a little bit. You guys can't quite get there.
Kale, by the way, for folks that care, Kale is, he's been battling some sickness. He does not have the coronavirus.
That we know of. Well, have you been tested, Kale?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying he doesn't have it. Kale's not getting the damn coronavirus. That's not happening. Anyway, so Kale's been dealing with a bit of a cold. But tonight, we got a couple things we're going to look at here. Kind of a retro Sunday. And bring up some of I think the worst loss in Clemson history. So we'll take a peek at this video here as I set this up. Comrade, this was your special. Can you explain it to the folks here online?
Well, this is special for a lot of reasons. One, I'll never forget watching this game as it began and Dabo on camera yelling to his team into the camera, "That's not, we're going to make history." And at the time, I'm like, roll my eyes. And of course, you guys did make history. That night, it was probably the most enjoyable football game. I mean, it's up there. I mean, I remember just laughing and cackling, and I wouldn't turn it off. Like, I remember my wife looked over at me and goes, "This game is over. Aren't you going to turn it off?" I'm like, oh no, this is staying on. The other thing too is I love how now the narrative.
Are you going to tell people what it is? Tell people what it is.
I think they all know. I'm getting to that point. The narrative of Clemson fans is all switched. And Kale sees as much as I do now. It's like you guys all get a little book in the mail. And it says, whenever this game is brought up, you will say the following. And it's always this. Well, I'm glad about that game. I'll tell you right now, man. I'm glad that game happened because that game led to what we're doing right now. I'm glad. I mean, I am glad that game happened. I love that game.
That's why we hired Brent Venables.
Yeah, I love that. That game is the most important game right there. I love that game.
Well, let's get to the game here. This is the condensed version, so hopefully I don't think this will get us booted off of YouTube tonight because it's too short. So here we go. As we look, ladies and gentlemen, into what is it? Joe Robbie Stadium. Kale, help me out with that. Let's listen to Dabo right now. Here's Dabo.
What does this moment right now mean to you?
Well, 3 years ago when I got this job, we started a journey to try to get this program to the BCS. So it's a great step. We're up and walking. We got to go finish tonight.
You've also said that this ain't going to be a 6-3 game. What kind of game are you expecting tonight?
Well, I don't think it'll be 6-3, but hopefully it'll be a defensive game. Hopefully this thing's over. People are going to be talking about the Clemson defense. That's what I'm hoping.
Thank you very much.
Holy shit, Dabo. It comes out. Clemson looks good here. Look at Andre Ellington. Woo, buddy. Andre Ellington burning it up. Go, Andre.
This game over.
Touchdown, bitches. Yeah. West Virginia fucks.
I'm sitting there beating the coffee table. Fuck.
Okay. Well, Clemson looks good there. 7-0. Now, here's Geno Smith. Fuck Geno Smith to this day. God, I can't stand that motherfucker.
Oh, Geno.
What an asshole he was. What a god. There's Dana Holgorsen with his fucking skullet. Fuck that guy. There's Geno Smith again. Oh, and then that play there. Fuck that play. God damn it. I'm still fucking. Oh, God. Fuck that play. Holy shit, that guy. What? Watch this. Look at this. Oh, no. Don't hold him, fuck stick. God damn. It still makes me mad. Look at that shit.
Oh, keep the legs going. Always keep the legs moving.
What a crock of shit.
You don't hear the whistle, keep on going.
And here we go. I think, this play is interesting, but... no, this is Tavon Austin. So, by the way, when you look at this, it's just the Tavon Austin show. Now, and here's here's the interesting thing. When you look at it, I can't sugarcoat this game. We were playing pretty good there. Sammy Watkins with the touchdown, looking good. Everybody happy. Yeah, not so much. God. Do you remember that play? My goodness. It's just such a bad beat down here.
What is the score right now? I can't even.
It's 14-7. Let's see if I can broaden the picture.
You guys hanging in there.
Yeah, we're looking. We're not looking bad.
Well, somebody just scored.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's 17-14 Clemson right now, so it's looking pretty good. Geno Smith throws it down again. Another catch. Clemson screwed up again. This defense just pissed me off to no end. There's Tavon Austin. Woo. Again. Damn it!
Tavon.
Damn it.
I always forgot he played for us, Jimmy. I always more Geno.
All right. Let's see if I can give you the full screen here and see if that looks any different. Does that look any different? I don't know if it does or not. Let's see how it looks over here. So that makes it look, it looks a little bit bigger. So anyway, he didn't step out of bounds. That is a little bit bigger view there for you guys. Anyway, so Clemson comes back. This is the play of the game right here. Ellington up the middle.
I love this play.
Get fucked. Fuck, he was in.
He wasn't
fuck
in.
This play.
And the South beat down begins.
Oh, look at that. Social distancing right there, folks. That's social distancing.
Look at Dabo. He looks pissed as fuck.
Look at Dabo.
That was the game. Then you get this play. Look at Geno Smith running. Fuck him, too. God damn it.
Oh, Geno.
Dabo is mad right there.
It's not over yet, though. Here comes Taj Boyd. Taj Boyd to fuck us hard. And, yep, There we go.
I missed Taj Boyd. I told you that before.
So about two minutes to go here, Taj Boyd makes that play. And then what happens? Oh, we come back and sling it again. And oh no, nothing over the middle. Fuck you. And he fell just to get that that pick play there to go into the end zone. Tavon Austin just flat out killing people. Fuck you, Geno Smith. No one likes you. You were probably adopted. The game was over by then, by the way. Most points in a half. Yeah. There's Taj Boyd trying again. Die. Pick up a ball. Fumble again. This is where the game ended, right here. Can't hold on to the football. Jesus Christ. Look at this. Oh, give it to Austin again. Touchdown. Touchdown. What happened?
Beautiful thing to watch. So pretty. It's
terrible. Absolutely terrible. And then they come out, and then they try to go at it again. Now watch this. Watch this throw. Watch this catch. Oh, fuck off. Don't bother pushing him out of the end zone. You know you got beat. Look at this play. Just zip right on in there. Just terrible. Just absolutely terrible. Jesus Christ. What is this guy? Oh, everything over the middle was open. I don't get it at all. How sad was this?
Good times.
63.
Good time
right. Oh, let's go ahead and pull it down again. Let's see how this is going to work out. Oh, no. Oh, man. There's about 8,000 West Virginia fans there. About four teeth between all of them. I still don't like West Virginia for this shit.
I love West Virginia. My favorite school.
What a shitty...
I do, too.
Yeah, of course you do. 70 points tonight. Yeah. As the comrade or mine, an NCAA bowl record. There you go. As... that pretty much... I don't know how much more time is left in the video here, but... Let's see here. Yeah, there's... Oh, man. It's just terrible. Yay! Drown the Skullet. Yay! He left your program. That's what happens. God, we sucked so bad that night. Look, you don't even see Clemson fans in the stands. And they dumped the orange Gatorade on him. What a shit show. That's pretty much the only thing I can describe. What a shit show. Just sad. That West Virginia, there we go, as they storm the field. There's the comrade special for tonight.
Beautiful. Yeah,
beautiful. Did you enjoy that, comrade?
Both of us have played West Virginia in bowl games in Miami. And we won our game, and you did not. That's a fact.
Yeah, well, you did it with Brad Scott, so you needed me.
With Sparky Woods' players.
It's Brad Scott, though.
Sparky Woods' players.
Yeah, well, a lot of comments from Clemson fans. I'll let you guys respond. Thank you, WVU, for beating our butts because of this. We woke up and changed everything. Yeah,
Thank you for beating our butts because of this. We woke up and changed everything.
Are you going?
Page 19 of the Tater Manual. Well, what do you do when they bring a West Virginia game? Oh, be proud of that game.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Look, are you guys going to stand by that with what you said? What you're saying right now, you're going to stand by that, right?
Stand by what?
What you just said. Huh. That... You know, making changes is bad, et cetera. You're going to stand by that,
no,
right?
No, I'm just saying that now that game, like, that's the same line you all use, though.
Maybe that's because it's the truth. Maybe the truth hurts a little bit.
So that game now is a good game for you. You like
it? It was an awakening of a game. Well, so here's the issue.
You shouldn't have been in the game. How about that? What? You shouldn't have been in the game. And by the way, I want to thank Clemson. Because that game right there, is what ended the BCS, okay? Because the original idea of the BCS, when they first came up with it, was a great idea. The idea was, we're going to take the 10 best teams in football based on a combination of computer and the human element, and we're going to have five great games. And one of those games will be 1-2 for the national title. All in, all in. And then, of course, the university president said, but I don't, you know, I'm in the ACC, and that means we'll never be in the game. Is there any way that you can make it where if you win your conference, you get a BCS bowl game? And they went, oh, it's supposed to be the 10 best teams, though, President. Well, I know, but it's not really fair. I mean, half our teams don't even know we have a football team. And so they complain. They go, okay, here's the rules now. It's the 10 best teams, but also if you win your conference, you get in. And no conference can have more than two teams. So then what you get is a BCS game where the ACC champion, Clemson Tigers, who blew, against the Big East champions, West Virginia. So you totally shit all over the premise of the BCS of five really good games,
okay,
with the top 10 teams in the country, and instead you got shit shows, and so thank you. So that game right there proved, people say, you know what, we really want to watch this crap. That game should have been in the Wheat Eater Bowl. That's been a Wheat Eater Bowl game right there,
mm-hmm,
okay? Instead, right, well, it was a BCS game.
So I've let the comrade have his spiel here, but now we'll go with facts. The BCS was invented.
All true.
The BCS was invented by Commissioner Kramer from the SEC, which is why you had shit show games like Alabama and LSU in the national championship game. And ever since the college football playoff came around, when they got rid of the BCS, Clemson or an ACC team has been in it every year. So you just look stupid. By the way, in response to what you guys said tonight, I found something here, and I think that was one of the most embarrassing losses in Clemson history. Would you guys agree?
Well, I mean, according to your fans, it was a great game.
That was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Best thing ever happened, really.
The next year's Chick-fil-A Bowl win over the LSU team.
Yeah.
Were your two greatest bowl victories.
Hmm. Okay, well, according I'm not feeling all that.
According to Taylor Manuel.
Well, so I tried to look back in South Carolina history and tried to find the most embarrassing games, but what I found was this. This is the game where you guys could have made a little bit of a change, and you didn't. And I don't know why, but everybody was still in love with South Carolina. Look at this mess. You guys were ranked 9th in the country. Thought we'd watch a minute or two of this because, you know, 9th in the country and, you know, you're South Carolina. You got Steve Spurrier on the sideline.
That's when it all went down.
This is why I brought this up for a minute, because I think this is the game to change it all. Look at this guy, Kenny Hill coming in.
Well, it's not the game. It was the realization that we have a problem.
But Mike, I think this game was the game where you knew that you weren't worth a shit anymore.
Well, you got nervous. And then the game was over. There was two possible things you could. First of all, this is the 14 opening game of the 14 season, okay?
Yep.
We just came off of three straight top 10 finishes.
Yeah.
We ranked 9th in the preseason poll.
First team
okay.
in the state to ever do that.
Okay, first team, that's right. First team in the state to ever do that. And so, you know, listen, you just kind of assume that the next year will be good, you know? And I kind of thought the top 10 ranking might have been a little bit much, but I thought we were a good top 15 team, maybe. And then when that game happened, you had one or two conclusions. Either Texas A&M was the best team in the country, okay, or we were crap. And I told myself, I remember texting my friend Brian, We're both worried. Like, you know what? Maybe A&M is the best team in the country. Maybe we just weren't quite ready, and A&M is the best damn team in the country, and we're going to have a rematch with Atlanta this year, and we'll take them out then. And he's like, yeah, that's it. And then week two came up, and I forgot what week two. A&M played somebody. I think they looked like crap. And I think our week two game, we looked like crap too. I forgot. I have to look back and see.
We beat East Carolina.
But then we struggled with them, though.
You struggled with everyone all season.
34-24.
Yeah, so the combination of that, A&M either lost in week two or didn't look good. Like, Kenny Hill looked like Kyle Parker, okay, in week two. And it was a combination of two games when you said, oh crap, this is not good.
No, they
so really, yeah.
They ended up like 6-0 at one point, but then they lost like their next five games.
Okay.
They lost that year to Alabama. I'm pretty sure that's the year they lost to Alabama 59-0, and Kenny Hill was no longer starting by the end of the season.
Well, you guys made Kenny Hill everyone loved Kenny Hill after this game.
We've been known to make the most mediocre of signal callers look like Tom Brady. So
look at this.
Who's that dude
take
from
off
Georgia?
Here?
Grayson Lambert. What that dude from Georgia? Was it Grayson Lambert? Was that the same year in 14?
Hudson Mason.
That's right. He went like 18 for 18 or something like that.
That was the next year.
That was the following year.
That was Grayson Lambert. The Georgia quarterback this year was Hudson Mason. That's the one who pulled off a win.
Yeah. Well, anyway, this was great, though, because look at Hill going up here to the line. And, yeah, they're gonna kick a field goal here. But, like, this game, you can make an argument. You can make an argument that this game is kind of the turning point here.
It was just the realization that missed Clowney.
Look at that play. There's who is that? That's Nick Jones, 69-yard touchdown, bringing the Gamecocks within three. Yeah. What's that?
He's the guy that basically we let come here because of Lattimore, and he's going to be a pretty good ball player.
Pretty good player, yeah.
Lattimore's friend, like his good friend, and basically we took him to get Lattimore, and he actually wasn't bad. But you saw two things. You saw how important Clowney was, because the year before, Clowney had awful stats. Like, you look at his stats, he's been – but Clowney took up a lot of defenders and a lot of game plans, and without Clowney, you saw
people like Kelsey Quarles making plays.
Yeah. And so you saw that that things were a lot different defensively. And you hoped it was just one game, but it was not.
Look at Myles Garrett. Oh!
I will say this, though. Dylan Thompson had a great year.
He did.
Like, it's really I feel bad for him because, like, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. If he had played that offense, had played in a Gamecock team with a decent defense, I mean, he's talked about one of the great years in Gamecock history quarterback-wise. I mean, he had some great games. I mean, he threw some picks late in games, too. It's kind of like the Romo thing. Like, the Romo haters, we get on Romo. Like, the Cowboys lose 48-45.
Right.
Romo threw a pick in the fourth quarter to go up to try to get him in field goal range. Like, oh, Romo choked again. No, he's losing it for us. Like, dude, you gave up 48 points. I don't think Romo's your problem.
Look at this Gamecock defense, though.
Like that.
This Gamecock defense was shitty. Soft. Look at this mess.
Well, they're playing way off receiver and, like, no pass rush. I mean, it was. I remember watching that game. I watched that game in silence. Like, I just sat there. I had no, like, I didn't get mad. I was like, what am I watching? Like, what? Like, I just didn't understand what was going on.
Texas A&M had a receiver. Look at this. Look at this catch. Look at that. Boom. Demir Byrd, someone that left South Carolina.
And, Patriots, I think.
Yeah, and
Patriots
made good in the NFL. But he had to leave. Can't get that South Carolina stench off of him, though.
And he took a picture of my son as well. He was right next to my son at the library one day.
There we go.
I always thought he was really underutilized.
He was. Mm-hmm. Comrade will claim that he wasn't, but he was. There was a receiver for Texas A&M that had like his was his first name was Speedy. Wasn't that his first name?
Speedy Noyle.
Speedy Noyle. Yeah. What a great name for a receiver. That's great. Anyway.
Remember Speedy Claxton?
Claxton, the basketball player. Yeah.
Yeah.
How outstanding was he? So we're going to have the turning point in the game here in a moment. Broken play here. Still soft as craziness. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and end sharing that before we get booted from YouTube for it. But anyway, we should come back. I don't know why it was shut down on YouTube. I think you can only stream so many minutes, but you get the idea with that game. That was just one of those shitty games. I don't even know how to describe that game. Just shitty on top of shitty.
Yep.
Craziness. Well, we don't really have anything else to talk about. The WrestleMania is on ESPN right now. That's pretty much where we are.
It's a sad world.
It is a very sad world.
See, the Big Show just lost this Battle Royal.
Yeah.
I don't remember this guy.
Who is this guy? All right, so Sheamus got knocked out. Who won? Who the fuck?
Cesaro?
Cesaro won it?
Yeah, he picked the Big Show up and just dumped him out, man. I mean, you watch it here in a second, though.
Wow.
Replay, he just manhandled him. Sheamus, and who is that? Alberto Del Rio?
Alberto Del Rio.
And watch this. What?
What? Oh, that's a big trophy he gets, too. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's like a big, naked Andre the Giant. It's art.
That's not what I want.
It's really anyway, weird looking.
That's funny. Yeah, so he won. Woo. We're going to find creative ways to entertain you as the weeks go on here, but it's pretty sad in the sports world right now. Comrade, make sure you listen to the show tomorrow. And you can listen to my regular show on Fox Sports Radio 1400. I'll have on USC Sumter baseball coach Tim Medlin tomorrow. We're going to talk some baseball, even though
there
is no baseball going on.
And for the baseball nerds, tomorrow night, I'm recording tomorrow night now, I have my own The Pesky Pole podcast. Jeff Fry will be interviewing with me tomorrow night. Jeff Fry played the major leagues for a bunch of years. The reason why I'm talking to him is because he was on the Red Sox when my favorite player of all time came up, Nomar Garcia Parra came up. He was second base. Nomar was shortstop. We're going to talk a little Nomar, talk a little about the 96 season where Jeff Fry signed with the Red Sox middle of the year and almost took the Red Sox to the playoffs. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about, too, he has some funny videos on YouTube where he mocks the new guru baseball teachers who all they work on is this uppercut swing. And he, we'll talk about that stuff, too. So Jeff Fry will be in the Pesky Pole podcast. You can listen to that. And I had Nick Francona on last week, who is Terry Francona's son. And he talked about Alex Verdugo and Gabe Kapler and all that stuff. So if you're a baseball nerd, check it out.
Jonathan wants to know what we think of the iRacing on ESPN. I've seen people tweeting about it. Do you guys know anything about this iRacing?
I turn the ESPN sad. I can't even turn it on. It's just, I can't do it.
And Kale's been sick, right, Kale?
Yeah, off and on. I mean, I missed a day of work last week, but the show must go on as far as that goes.
That doesn't happen very often.
Damn, can't be out sick.
Fuck no. Can't have that. All right, well, gentlemen, we appreciate everybody joining us this evening. It was nice to look back on some stuff, and We'll figure out what we're going to do on Wednesday as the show must continue. You know, I've gotten messages from folks wondering if we're still going to do shows, and I was like, we'll figure out something. Did you see Mike Muse sent me this today where they rated all of the football teams from last season and put them in a 64-team bracket. The Gamecocks were a number 9 seed. We might go over that on Wednesday. They have the Gamecocks as a number 9 seed, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And we'll look at that on Wednesday. That'll be kind of cool. On it's from ESPN. I'll bring that up. Really interesting in how they rated the teams. And I guess congratulations, you're in the top 64. Congratulations on
there
that, guys.
There yeah, you
there
go.
You go.
Right. Dancing shoes.
Holy shit. And with that, this show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
Just when you think this show is terrible, something wonderful happens.
What?
It ends.
Ah!